Program. It's our Friday night wrap-up of the week in coronavirus news stories. Let's lead off with another acknowledgement of Henry's deductive scientific reasoning. He figured this one out real quick. Chinese officials are now saying that unknown pneumonia in Kazakhstan is very likely to be coronavirus. We've got that. Henry's got more on that. We'll get to that in just a minute. Other stories today. There's a ton of them. There are just a lot of reports. Chinese virologist accuses Beijing of coronavirus cover-up, flees Hong Kong in fear of her life. Trump continues to ignore the pandemic during a trip to a hotspot, a coronavirus hotspot in Florida. His coronavirus approval ratings, according to the South China Morning Post, are at an all-time low in terms of evaluating him and crediting him or otherwise with his approach to handling the pandemic. President Trump is now talking about wearing masks. His staff has apparently pled and begged, and he's getting closer. So we'll see what happens. War with Tony Fauci. Trump says that Fauci has made a lot of mistakes. Fauci says he hasn't briefed Trump in 2 months as the number of cases rises. He also said that Donald Trump is obviously wrong, that 99% of coronavirus cases are harmless. All right. Trump's top coronavirus advisor now on the task force is Debbie Birx. Dr. Debbie Birx says that the deaths, as Henry has been saying, will start to rise very soon, as they would be expected to. And this story again about Trump and masks. Pleading from aides led to Trump agreeing to finally wear a mask. So there you go. There's one more here that tags onto that. Trump campaign office shuns masks still and doesn't like social distancing. They're saying you get made fun of. That's a story from Politico. All right, so there's a lot going on. Henry, welcome back. It's Friday. Let's bring it home. See what's going on.
Well, I guess it started off with today was an all-time high, new record for COVID cases in the U.S. My total is 68,209. MSNBC, I think, probably you're seeing some of the cases that aren't reported directly by the states, like prisoners and others. They got it above 70,000. So the first time ever it's gotten above 70,000. And the 68 that I have is the highest I've had, but by quite a bit. I had it up to 62,000. So it's a 68 to 70,000. It's a new high. And I think, speaking of highs, I think the high today in Phoenix was 118. So,
ouch.
And they're running out of ICU beds. So the virus is not fading away because it's hot. It's not fading away because it's April.
Jeez.
118. Yeah. And it's out of control. Trump said today that there were a few hot spots. and we'll get them under control quickly. And the hotspot's the United States of America. It's one big hotspot because you only have to divide it up to a couple. The country is on fire with coronavirus. And, of course, all of the problems that happened in April are now happening in July. Running out of PPEs, telling nurses they got to take their single-use PPE masks and
wash them or sterilize them.
And continue using them. The
we'll be back to raincoats pretty soon.
Right. Reagents are in short supply. 1 week to get your results. If you actually get a test, can't really get a test unless you got symptoms because they don't have enough reagents to test those that are contacts but asymptomatic. They can't really do any contact tracing. It's below third world country. I don't even know how to describe it. It's an abomination. Trump is a total disaster. He lies constantly. He has no idea what he's doing. And now, true to form, he's going to say it's all the CDC's fault, and he's not going to listen to the scientists. He's going to go, Dr. Trump's in charge. He's saying, well, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Just get back to school and we'll be fine. The guy is a moron. He's destroying the country. He's destroying the population in the country. And there is no end in sight. Yet the discussion is whether you should wear a mask or not. I mean, this guy is a total idiot. I still haven't seen him wear a mask except the one time behind the scenes.
He's canceled.
He's supposed to have a rally tomorrow in New Hampshire. Well, that's been canceled.
No, that was the plan. It's gone. Yes.
Right.
He waited till damn near the last minute to do it, too.
Right. And I didn't even hear the reason. My guess is nobody's coming. And you can't go and have another, half-empty building.
Right.
Yeah, right. So you can't afford to do that because it's going to look bad. And it's the whole situation is just absurd. I mean, he went and the original excuse was he wasn't expecting to have this many. Frankly, I don't even know what his excuse was. I mean, half of the time he didn't use an excuse. He says, oh, it's coming. We're going to have more tests. We're going to combine with industry. We're going to go ahead. Anybody that wants a test can have a test. Lies. Pure lies. They were lies in April. They're lies
still
today.
If you do get a test, you wait at least a week to get the results.
Correct. You can't do contact tracing because you can't go and take somebody that's infected and then call up to find out who their contacts are because you can't test them because you don't have enough reagents to do the testing. Yeah. One of the states said that their contact rate was like 17%. So you're not going to control anything at 17%. The virus is out of control. The numbers are high. It's not in a few places. Just to do this, I mean, it's worth running through these numbers just because they're so amazing. So there's 29 states that reported 500 or more cases today. And just to give it a run through, it's worth repeating. I mean, it's not the same numbers, but New York, 786, Pennsylvania, 1,009, California, 9,092, Michigan, 622. These aren't all in the South. Illinois, 1,327. Florida, 11,435. Louisiana, 2,642. Texas, 9,765. Georgia, 4,484. Ohio, 1,525. Washington, 637. Indiana, 725. Colorado, 666. Virginia, 943.
Now these
Tennessee,
numbers for
1,000.
You who just turned, what are the numbers for again? Tell our listeners, so people are just joining us.
New
You're reading
cases
numbers?
New cases reported today.
Just one day, okay.
One day. Tennessee, 1,955. North Carolina, 1,982. Missouri, 673. Arizona, 4,221. Alabama, 1,234. Mississippi, 1,031. Wisconsin, 885. South Carolina, 1,728. Nevada, 1,004. Utah, 867. Iowa, 924. Minnesota, 604. Kansas, 993. Oklahoma, 596. Idaho, 500. So those are the 29 states that reported 500 or more cases to date.
Now, Henry,
a question. They're not all in the South.
Right. Of course, that's very well spread out. Are they confirmed by test numbers, or are they confirmed by symptoms numbers? What are we talking about here?
Lab confirmed cases.
Thank you.
And they're probably an underestimate because they don't have enough reagents.
This is what they got. They're running at max
limited
testing capability.
With limited testing. They're topped out. I mean, Florida's hit 11,000 several days now. Can't get above 11,000, but that doesn't mean there's not more than 11,000. They have a limited number of test centers, a limited number of collections. When you drive up, they close the line at 9 o'clock in the morning or 9:02 in the morning. Because there's already too many cars in line to process. So instead of waiting all day to tell you you aren't going to get tested, they close the line like at 9 in the morning. People start lining up at 2 in the morning for that. So that's all that center is going to do. Whatever that number of cars that they're going to get through in a day, that's how many they're going to test. And so the only way the number's going to go up significantly is if the percent positive goes up significantly. And many of these locations are running at 30 to 40% positives or 30, 35% positives. So they're already at a very high percentage.
It's
difficult to get the percent higher. And they can't get the number of tests higher because that's all the manpower or test kits that they have to run that day. So that's going to be the end of it. Whatever X number of cars they can process in a day, that's how many they're going to run. Even though they turn people away as early as 9 o'clock in the morning because the line's already full. So all of these problems that happened back in April are back again. That nobody went ahead and said, well, you know, everybody's predicting a fall wave. We haven't got to the fall wave yet. They can't handle the summer wave. And it's just going to be a total disaster. And then he wants everybody to go back to school. And the teachers say, well, we're not going to have students go back to school unless we can test them. Because we need to know who's walking in the door with the virus to make sure they go home and get quarantined. We can't have them walking in the door with the virus and ignore them and wait to see how many people at school they can infect. We have to identify them, and to identify them, we have to test them. So to go back to school, you need a massive increase in testing ability. And they don't have the ability to test symptomatic cases. They're telling people without symptoms, even if they're contacts of somebody that's known to be positive, to not bother because they can't test them. You have to have symptoms to be tested. So anybody can get a test is a flat-out lie. And there's not enough kits to do contact tracing. And the number of cases is too low to do contact tracing because they don't have enough contact tracers to do contact tracing.
Never will. It's not going to happen.
So the problem is that the numbers, the percent positive, are approaching the number of percent positives they had in New York. And that's not really a surprise because it's essentially the same virus they had in New York. And this virus transmits more efficiently. So when it gets into the neighborhood and it gets up to a certain critical mass, then all of a sudden it's spreading exponentially and you're getting these big numbers and they're going to the hospital and they're filling up the ICUs. And they're not just filling up the ICUs. They're dying at home because they don't have enough ambulances to answer their 911 calls. So by the time they get there, they're dead. So
this let me say one thing here. This virus, we've talked about it for a long time, the Italian strain, is volatile, to put it mildly. It must, and I did have the one story where they said it hangs in the air for up to an hour. They've done these tests. It was a credible test. It must be that this is really transmitting through aerosolization, vectoring, more than people are even talking about now. It has to be. There's something going on here. This is a red hot.
It's red hot, but it's a repeat. I mean, the Italian strain is called the Italian strain because it was identified in cases in northern Italy in February. So it's not new. I mean, it's a little bit newer than the original strain or the ORF8 strain. Like I say, those were identified in December and January, and this wasn't really identified until February. It doesn't mean it wasn't there ahead of time, but the first cases were collected in February.
With these numbers you're repeating, you just gave us the numbers, and they're phenomenal numbers, 60-some thousand today. All right, we're headed toward 100,000.
70.
All right, 70?
I got 68. I got 68. MSNBC said 70.
Okay, 70,000. We're headed toward 100. Right. This is unprecedented. I don't remember. Tell me, has there been anything else to compare with this in terms of volatility?
There's not enough testing.
We don't even know how many are really getting infected.
No, right. And it's not 100,000 by fall. We're going to hit 100,000 by the Republican convention in August. right. That in a couple of weeks, we're going to hit 100,000. And that's when Trump wants to start sending everybody back to school. And it's just insanity. Because the virus transmits when it has access to other additional people. So when you go and you have kids going to school,
of course,
they're going to bring that virus home. And when you have them in a classroom, even if you cut it back so that you've got half the number of students there that you normally have, you normally have a lot of students there. I mean, they're in the classroom. When they change classes, they're in the hallways. If they're doing sports, and I don't know if they're going to do sports. You know, it sounds like some of the A1 football teams and stuff are going to do limited schedules within their conference so they don't have to travel as far and as often. And that won't work. You know, that'll work for a couple of weeks or so, and then pretty soon they'll have it running through the team, and most of the team will be sick, and they won't be able to field the team because they'll either have too many that are sick, or they have too many that don't want to play because they already know that X number are already known to be sick, and Y number are sick but not tested because they can't get a test, and it's going to fall apart. Yeah, and I don't know if they're doing stands, whether they're going to have people pack into stadiums or wearing masks, and the masks aren't 100%. You need N95 masks. They don't have N95 masks. Healthcare workers, they are washing their masks. 1,000 healthcare workers have already died. I mean, and much of this is preventable. I mean, the healthcare workers are dying because they don't have PPEs. They don't have the proper PPEs. They're reusing PPEs. And it's ridiculous. I mean, Trump has these powers, you know, War Powers Act or whatever it's called, to order companies to make these products, and he can't figure out how to do that. I mean, there is no reason for him to be in the position he's in. He's incompetent, and he doesn't learn. He's one of these people that are too dumb to know how dumb they are. That's his category. So he thinks he can do this job. He thinks he can do this job, and he can't. And he's too stupid to know that he can't. Well, and he's too stupid to know. And he's too stupid to know that he continues to fail, and so he blames everybody else for his failures. So he can't. He can't get masks made. He can't get PPEs made. He can't get reagents made. He can't get tests done. All he can do is lie. And he lies about everything. We got a few outbreaks. We'll have them under control. We got the entire country out of control.
And he doesn't even know how many kids. Like New York.
Right. And he can't even tell how bad it is because there aren't enough tests to cover that. And it's summertime. This is not the second wave. This is still the first wave. Right. This is the first wave starting to spread out. And many of these are at the beginning. The ones I read that have 500 cases today, mm-hmm. they have 1,000 cases today. And those numbers are going to go up. The bigger states like California and Florida and Texas, they've got 10,000 cases a day, not 1,000 cases a day. Now, some of them are bigger, so some of these states aren't going to get to 10,000, but they're going to get to 3,000-4,000 cases, whereas now they're 500 to 1,000. So the numbers are going to go up. Or you can just look at what is it going to take to slow down the virus? And, you know, estimates, well, you got to get 60-70% of the population infected. Well, that's 10 times higher than the population that's been infected so far. So you need 10 times as many cases as you've already had just to start getting to the level where the virus is going to get slowed down by people that have immunity. But then the virus will mutate. So it isn't like that's the end of the road. That's the beginning of the mutation. So the situation is dire. And the fact that the argument isn't about, well, what's going to stay open and what's going to get closed. It's, should you have to wear a mask? And you've got police that won't enforce the requirement to wear a mask. And most of this enforcement is stop the person and give them a mask. It's not like they're going into detention camps or anything. It's basically get them to wear a mask. And they won't even do that because they think they have the right to go ahead and cough in people's face and infect as many people as they want because they need to be free. the whole situation is crazy. And the reason it's so crazy is because of the idiot in the White House and his enablers that basically propagate this utter nonsense and with this whack job on Fox saying how dangerous Ebola was, how much more dangerous Ebola is than the coronavirus.
Nobody in the brain can pay attention to that. Look,
you're wrong. You are wrong. You have many people paying attention to that. And that's why you have all these nut jobs, including the lawmakers. They got, I don't know which state it is. I think it might be Mississippi. They decided to hold meetings, and nobody wore masks. And they have something like 46 lawmakers that are now positive.
The tragedy is the average the mean IQ in America has never been lower. That's true. And these people are doing things that are just inviting catastrophe. And they're encouraging it. What about Birx? Debbie Birx. Dr. Debbie Birx. Now we got Fauci and Trump are obviously not an item anymore at all. Birx is now the lead on the so-called task force. What is she doing and what, as you see it, what is her role in this, if any, to try and talk sense into somebody who is not sensible?
No, it isn't going to work. He's not just blaming Fauci. He's not talking to Fauci. He's trying to limit Fauci's ability to communicate. So he's doing podcasts and stuff. So he's basically denying his ability to go out and speak. He's not involved in task force meetings. But now he's not saying it's any one person. He's saying it's the entire CDC. He's blaming the CDC for the pandemic, just like he blamed WHO for the pandemic, just like he blamed China for the pandemic. He's saying now, well, they could have stopped it if they wanted to. Why wouldn't they stop it? I mean, they had to shut down a city of 19 million people for months. Why wouldn't they stop it if they wanted to? I mean, he is analytically challenged. Some of the things he says, I think he believes, and they're idiotic. They make no sense. But it's somebody to blame, and he believes it. So he said, this is all China's fault. They could have stopped it if they wanted to. They didn't stop it, so it's their fault. It's WHO's fault, and therefore we're not going to pay WHO, and therefore we're going to pull out of WHO. And then we're going to take researchers who have collaborations with China. And the best way to find out what's going on in China is to do research with them because they shared the research. So they got researchers that are looking into the origins of the coronavirus, and Trump pulls their funding. And so he basically cuts off the connection to China to find out exactly what's going on there. Right. He's essentially shut it down. And that's his whole modus operandi. He's got to be in charge. Everybody has to be loyal. Everything is about him. All of these calamities, the pandemic is about him. He's the one that's suffering because of this pandemic. the economy is about him. The economy got derailed to get back at him. Everything is about Trump, according to Trump. So all the problems that the U.S. has is all due to people targeting him, and he's the target of all of these issues that are out there that he has trouble dealing with, including the pandemic. So the pandemic is something that derailed his economic program, and he's the victim, not the 135,000 dead people. They're not the victims. The victims, they're the warriors. They're the warriors. So are all these children. Now, these children are going to be his new warriors. They're kind of like kamikaze pilots, Things are totally out of control. He says they're fine, and everybody get into school, including universities. I mean, the university part doesn't even make that much sense. I mean, for the high schools and elementary schools, the argument is the kids have to go to school so the parents can go to work. Colleges, the parents are, it doesn't matter whether their children are in college and taking an online course or going and sitting in a lecture hall. It doesn't make any difference. They're not under the control of their parents. How they get educated doesn't have any effect on whether their parents can go to work or not. And he's going, he's insisting that the foreign students go to class. Otherwise, they have to get deported and go back to their original country because they're not really getting educated here because they're doing it online. So they got to go to, back to China. So when they got a class at noon, they got to get up at midnight to get online with the class because they're 12 hours away in time zones and everything is virtually impossible or certainly difficult because you got classes at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. Pathologist. This is Dr. Amy Rapkowitz, chairman of the Department of Pathology at NYU's Langone, is that how you pronounce it? Langone Medical Center.
Yeah.
She is saying autopsies on people who died of the coronavirus are now helping doctors understand how the disease affects the body. And one of the most remarkable findings concerned blood clotting. Apparently, blood clotting is being found in, quote, almost every organ during autopsies on COVID-19 patients. Now, that brings up the issue again of thickened blood. And I'm wondering if, and we're not prescribing here, Henry's not, I don't do it, but would it be advisable for someone who thinks he or she may be infected to try to keep their blood flowing by taking an aspirin in the morning and maybe an aspirin in the evening? Would that have any kind of an effect? It's supposed to be a blood thinner. I'm seeing this story. Right. This is very concerning to me. She says, we found them in the heart and the kidneys and the liver and other organs, notably in the heart. Megakaryocytes produce something called platelets that are intimately involved in blood clotting. Researchers hope to discover how these cells influence small vessel clotting in COVID-19, she said. This is not good. And
right. Well, this
concerned.
Is akin to the cytokine storm. So the clotting gets derailed and unregulated as part of the immune response to the virus. And
right. What would aspirin do, Henry? Would it help? They were talking about it in some hospitals, giving it to patients. I'm not saying we're going to tell people what to do here. I'm just asking a question.
It's an issue about how much clotting is there, and is the aspirin going to help, or is it just an overwhelming amount? Like I said, it's related to a cytokine storm, so it kind of builds upon itself.
Well, let me ask you a different way.
It gets triggered by the virus, And so you have a lot of it. And whether you're going to have the right amount of aspirin to
the aspirin
control that,
hurt you?
Well, you could have bleeding. I mean, if you take a lot of aspirin.
Well, we're not talking a lot. Okay.
Right. So if you take a little aspirin, then that might not make a difference. So that's what I'm saying, that a lot of these things have to be titrated and whether the way to handle
is
prophylactically and having it, taking it early,
or
having it.
I would absolutely take one. I would take one a day at least, in the morning. Just to try and give myself a little advantage so the blood stays thin.
People take an aspirin every day anyway. And some actually take an adult aspirin. It depends. There's a couple different, ways to do it. That's part of the reason they're using the corticosteroid is to limit the cytokine storm, and so that's a way to indirectly control that. And one of the problems is that I've said this before, but it's got a polybasic cleavage site, so it can go into cells that have furin as a protease and ACE2 receptors, and they have that. That's found in blood vessels, so the virus can replicate in blood vessels. And so when you got a lot of virus replicating there, then the immune system goes after the virus because they recognize the virus is not supposed to be there. And there's a lot of virus, and so they end up targeting the virus and the immune system. The immune response to the virus ends up creating the clotting disorders, and then you have these blood clots all over the place. So in some cases, maybe want to talk about Ebola. that's what you have with some of the hemorrhagic viruses. It's the same thing. You trigger an immune response, but this time the cytokine storm, instead of leading to an increase in clotting, it leads to a decrease in clotting, and then you have bleeding, and that's why they're hemorrhagic. You have bleeding all over the place. So it's two sides of the same issue. They're your immune system responding to the virus and affecting the clotting system. In one case, it leads to more clotting, and the other it leads to less clotting and bleeding. And that's what happens when you have a lot of virus, and that's what the problem is with this virus, is it goes to a lot of different places because furin is in a lot of different cell types, and the ACE2 receptor is in a lot of different cell types. And so if both of those proteins are present, then the virus can get into that cell type, and it's not limited to the respiratory tract like it normally would be for a cold virus or a coronavirus. And so the virus has these genetic changes, and these genetic changes allow these types of infections in different cell types, and that's what that paper was finding with the autopsies, is that they were finding blood clots all over the place. They were finding evidence of the virus that had got into the brain, and that was causing problems with the loss of taste and smell. Mm-hmm. And that's what the issue is the virus is all over the place. And so that's one of the symptoms of having the infection. All of a sudden you can't taste or smell anything. So that's an indication you've got the virus. The virus has gotten into your brain and is basically causing these neurological issues that leads to the loss of taste and smell. And that's just kind of one indication of what's going on. And that's why Tony Fauci said that, you know, don't focus just on the death rate, that the death rate is one of the bad outcomes of the virus, but it's not the only bad outcome of the virus. And some of these things are still being investigated. They have, you know, these rashes and problems that arise in children. And so the children don't die from the rash, but they're not really sure what the long-term effects is from having these reactions to having the virus in many different locations and at high levels. And like you said, the autopsy of the spines is the virus is damaging the heart, is damaging the kidneys, is damaging blood vessels, is getting into the brain. And so this is not an infection. You want to kind of roll the dice and say, well, you know, a lot of people, they don't even have to go to the hospital. Well, that's true, but a lot of people that don't have to go to the hospital lose the ability to taste and smell. And I don't know, that might be temporary, but that's an indication that the virus is replicating in your brain. And what else is doing in your brain besides getting rid of the taste and smell is far from clear. I mean, having a virus replicating in your brain is not a good situation. There's a lot of potential issues there, including blood clots, yeah, showing up all over your body.
Not
and,
good.
And having,
not good.
And having
no.
strokes or heart attacks. So, and there's evidence for these things. I mean, there's these sudden deaths. I mean, you remember the pictures in China. That
sure.
In China, you had those. So the original virus doesn't have this one change that allows it to replicate more easily and more efficiently. But it does have the polybasic cleavage site. It is using the same receptors. So the same thing that's being found in these autopsies would apply to the infections in China. And so it's not a new issue. It's becoming concerning because if you've got the virus replicating more efficiently, you've got more virus and you've got more chances you're going to run into these problems. You're going to have more clotting because there's more virus and there's a stronger cytokine storm because there's more virus circulating.
Sure, got it.
So that's the issue there. I mean, the other thing that I thought of with this report out of Kazakhstan with, you know, this new virus that is causing viral pneumonia, but it's not COVID, but now it is COVID. It's, there are a lot of potential issues and some of these issues that are coming up. Are just repeats of what happened with the swine flu. With the swine flu, if you remember, it was kind of mild in the fall.
Sure. I remember.
And then kind of faded over the summer, but it showed up at summer camps. And guess what COVID's doing? It's showing up at summer camps. Some of these summer camps went away.
And the Phoenix summer camp.
Went ahead and held their camps, and now all of a sudden they have outbreaks. But the other thing that I recalled that happened was when it got more serious in the fall, especially like October is, I ended up with my daughter getting infected. And I even know exactly which day she got infected playing soccer.
I remember when you were infected.
Right.
You had it twice, didn't you?
Right. And well, one was lab confirmed. The second one, I just suspected because it seemed like I was getting the same thing like about 3 or 4 weeks later. But my daughter got lab confirmed first, and I went with her to the doctor, and there was no doubt in my mind that she had swine flu. That The soccer game was on a Tuesday. She was coughing on Wednesday. By Friday, he said she couldn't go to school, and she never misses school. So took her to the doctor. She had like 101 temperature. And, and they did a nasopharyngeal swab. And I said, well, how many of these cases have you had lately? And he said, well, we're going to see what it is. We're going to do a nasopharyngeal swab and see if she's got swine flu. And I said, well, I know she's got swine flu. I mean, all the kids, there's high absenteeism. The kids are going to the nurse's office. She's got the classic symptoms. She's got this cough. She's fatigued. She's got a fever.
Sure.
And he says, and he responds and says, well, you know, I just had 6 or 8 patients, and they all had classic swine flu symptoms. And we did a nasopharyngeal swab, and they were all negative. And I said, I think you got a swabbing issue. And I think Kazakhstan had a swabbing issue. So they got all these people, and they probably have been overwhelmed, and they got people that are doing the swabbing that haven't really done it previously, and they don't have that much experience, or they don't have that much training. So they've got a lot of experience, but their experience is doing it wrong. And they're taking these swabs, and they're coming up negative, but they look like COVID sequences and COVID symptoms, and they got viral pneumonia. And so they got this new disease, and they had more that were COVID negative than were positive. And then, you know, the excuse is, well, the assay isn't necessarily all that good. Well, the swabbing's probably not necessarily all that good. And they're getting bad samples, and they're coming up negative, but they have all the classical symptoms. And they say, well, they got something out. We got a new disease. And then they send the samples off to somebody else, and you know, maybe they got a little bit better sensitivity. So even though the swab wasn't very good, there's enough there to pick up a positive. And they say, you know, you said it was negative. We say it's positive. We did a sequence on this COVID. There's no doubt that it's positive. And they realize that these 36,000 cases that they said are a mystery disease aren't a mystery at all. They're COVID, and they're probably the Italian version of it.
Here's one other little. We're getting near the end here. Let me do this real quick.
Okay.
Coronavirus. Just to recap, this is the most important thing I think to consider in this hour. One of them. Coronavirus damages not only the lungs but the kidneys, liver, heart, brain, and nervous system, skin, and gastrointestinal tract. Doctors said this today in a review of reports about COVID-19 patients. The team at the Columbia University Irving Medical Center in New York City, one of the hospitals flooded with patients in the spring, went through their own experiences and collected reports from other medical teams around the world. Their comprehensive picture shows the coronavirus attacks virtually every major system in the human body, directly damaging organs and causing the blood to clot, the heart to lose its healthy rhythm, the kidneys to shed blood and protein, and the skin to erupt in rashes. It causes headaches, dizziness, muscle aches, stomach pain, and other symptoms, along with classic respiratory symptoms like coughing and fever. Quote, physicians need to think of COVID-19 as a multi-system disease, said Dr. Akriti Gupta, a cardiology fellow at Columbia who worked on the review. He said also, there's a lot of news about clotting, but it's also important to understand that a substantial proportion of these patients suffer kidney, heart, and brain damage, and physicians need to treat those conditions along with the respiratory disease, end quote. And I'll stop there.
Right. And that's because they got the polybasic cleavage. They can go to all of these different cell types, and that's why Fauci is saying, you know, don't, and it wasn't even real. I mean, you know, Trump was saying, oh, we got the lowest case fatality rate in the world, or he's using the wrong definition. But the argument was that the number of fatal cases was down. And the number of fatal cases was down, not because we've got the best medical care here, not because we're doing, you know, the antivirals are working at that type of level. The reason the numbers were down was that it was in a transition period, that the big outbreaks that happened in April and May were winding down. So they weren't producing a large number of deaths anymore. So the deaths went down because those were getting under control, largely because of the lockdown, and they kept the lockdown until they knocked it down. And then these new cases were just starting to take off, so that those people are in the ICU. They haven't died yet. They're going to die. The deaths are starting to go up now. This week, the numbers were high in all of these major locations where they're getting close to 100 deaths a day. Those numbers are going to continue up, and this low death rate that he's talking about is going to just disappear, because the numbers are going to jump up. It might be a little bit lower because they know how to treat the patients better, and they know how to, and the drugs work to a degree. But when they get overwhelmed and the numbers go up, they aren't able to treat them because they don't have enough healthcare workers and trained healthcare workers, and the death rate continues to go up. So it's going to go through the roof in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, you haven't been wrong yet, Henry. So we'll see. And too soon for many, the end will come. Thank you for another week. And have a good weekend. Rest up. I'll be watching for your material here, and we'll keep posting it as always. So take care. Be well.
Stay safe. Very good. Have a good weekend. Take care.
All right. There we go. Friday. It's a wrap, and we're ready to keep right on working. How's that? That's what we do on the weekends here. We'll be here for you, and thanks for being here for us. We appreciate all of you. Honestly, eat good food, keep your immune system up. You might look into this aspirin thing if you think you're sick. There's a lot of research on the internet. You have to make up your own mind about it. I personally would take one aspirin in the morning, maybe one in the evening as well. Some people take the baby aspirin. Anything to keep your blood from thickening and clotting, that would be something I think that they should be talking more about to the general public. Okay, back soon. Take care.